With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Sylvie had a pull up, as he always does, on his ex. That sounded weird. Sorry, I shouldn't have paused like that.
I didn't know he was married before.
Sylvie had a poll up on his ex account.
Oh, okay.
That was really terrible the way I did. That was unintentional, yeah. Sylvie.
Are you going to be okay?
Chicago sports fans. This isn't, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's not incredible. It really isn't, but it just, it's like, this is the NFL for you. Chicago sports fans, what's got you most interested right now? Okay, here are your choices here. Cubs, Sox, baseball. And a little tough to lump the Sox into there. It might only drag it down. Cubs, Sox, baseball, NBA playoffs, NFL schedule, or Stanley Cup playoffs. I looked, and I don't know if the polls, it'll be closed soon, if it hasn't already.
What are the results?
39% said NFL schedule.
Yeah?
39%, the schedule.
Almost four out of ten,
Yerk. It's obvious what everybody's really into, that and baseball. 37% went with Cubs and Sox baseball.
Sure.
I think a lot of it has Cub fans, too, just
right,
geared up for their team. It's a little hard to be that excited over the White Sox.
I think if you're a baseball fan, even though your team is crappy with the White Sox, I think people, the fans, true fans, still care about their White Sox.
I care about them. I'm not watching as much because obvious
reasons.
Because
they punish your eyes.
Yeah. 13% went with NBA playoffs, 11% Stanley Cup playoffs. So that just shows you the power of the NFL, good kid. Almost 40, almost like you said, 4 out of every 10 still saying
for the schedule.
Just waiting for the schedule to come out.
That's all I want is the schedule.
Isn't that crazy? Let's say hi to our buddy Chase on the south side. What up, Chase?
What up, fellas? How you guys?
Good, man.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk. Well, for one, I got one guy, too, nobody mentioned. That would be a great running back. Jalen Brunson would be a great way he moves and the way he how strong he is.
He's strong, man. That kid is sneaky strong.
Yeah. But, you know, I was watching the game last night, and, you know, the Knicks had, a couple guys. You know, Brunson got dinged up.
Mm-hmm.
Ogunjobi got dinged up. And Thibodeau is using a small rotation. And, you know, I remember Barkley was talking about this on the halftime show, that this is what got him in trouble here in Chicago, where, you know, his teams burn out because he overworks his players. And if he's not careful, he can find his way out of New York. You know, like, he's a great coach. He's a good coach. But at some point, you can't keep running your players in the ground like that. I mean, you know,
Though, don't you think, Chase, it's a little different? I mean, they're in the conference semis. I mean, this is the second round of the playoffs. So you kind of, you need guys going. But are you suggesting like something that he was doing leading up to this has affected that, or just some of the rotations?
Well, you got to look at it, too. They think he's running a small rotation.
Yeah.
You know, he's only playing seven rotation guys.
Right, yeah.
He's got other guys on the bench. See, like, okay, so I don't want to keep going back further, but I just want to remember this. You remember when Derrick Rose tore his ACL? You remember that?
There's 4 minutes for the game, right?
Yeah. People keep remembering that Bulls management was very upset with Thibodeau because a lot of people were saying, why is Derrick in the game? You know, when you up by 12 with 1 minute left, why is he even in the game? And Derrick Rose was already having issues with injuries, and Joakim Noah was having injury issues, and he played those players so much where they burnt out, and those injuries start to mount, and that's when the tension became within Thibodeau and the Bulls organization. And then this, when he went to Minnesota, he had the same issue. And now here in New York, he's doing the same thing. And Charles Barkley said, you'd have thought that he would learn from that, and yet he still hasn't. And now, keeps up.
And I know, Mitchell Robinson just got hurt, right, officially. Mitchell's done for the playoffs, right, guys? I believe. I think Mitchell Robinson's done. You know, they've had injuries. At some point, you're in the playoffs and you're not expected to play these 9 and 10 man rotations. And Chase, thanks, buddy. I didn't hear any of Charles post game last night. I don't know what the specific gripe was. I think Tibbs has gotten a little bit better learning how to pull back on minutes and things like that in the regular season. I don't think he runs his guys out there quite to the extent that he did when he was here. So I feel like he's adjusted a little bit to that. I'm trying to go to their page real quick on Basketball Reference just to look at some of the numbers, Yerk. So, like, Julius Randle played 35 minutes a game. So did Jalen Brunson. That's okay. That's more in the realm of where you want to be. You don't see the 42 minutes like you used to play Luol Deng. You know, I think he has learned that. As far as, like, scaling back your playoff rotation now, like, they've had some injuries. They don't have Julius Randle. I'm pretty sure they just announced Mitchell Robinson is also done for the year. You lose another guy that's part of your rotation. It starts to get hard to go 8 or 9 deep. You know, and teams generally don't do that much in the playoffs anyway. So I know the other storyline out of that series, first of all, Jalen went into the locker room for a little bit in the first half. He came back out. It's like Willis Reed coming out in the Garden, York. It's incredible. You know, he finishes with 29. The Pacers are hot. They should have been after game one. Maybe a few gripes again after game two. This is the way it goes, though. You think some of the calls will go your way once you do get back home to Indianapolis here as the series will shift for games 3 and 4. You're not going to get a lot of calls in the Garden, not with that building rocking like that. The Pacers submitted 78 instances of incorrect or non-calls to the NBA that they felt put them at a disadvantage in games 1 and 2, a league source told ESPN.
How many?
78. 78. That's a lot. The league will do its two-minute report. They do that in the effort to be transparent. Not that it's ever going to change anything, obviously. If you're Indiana, you do this just to hope that it does balance out a little bit when you get back to Indiana, too. That's it. That's why you do it, right? You're playing the game.
Well, you just want
to be a master of it, like calling out the officials to the public, right?
But and if then, it's that egregious, I mean, 78 instances where they feel like, hey, they've taken it on the chin. I mean, that's a lot.
Carlisle said they had decided not to send the game one calls to the league office for review, but reversed that decision after game two had similar officiating issues from their perspective. As part of protocol, the clips will be shared with the Knicks. I can promise you that we're going to submit these tonight, Carlisle said after being ejected in the final minute when he was given two technicals, and he was pretty hot. New York can get ready. They'll see him too. I'm always talking to our guys about not making it about the officials, but we deserve a fair shot. And he feels like his team is not getting a fair shot right now. Ernest is on the south side. What's up, Ernest?
Hey, I just want to comment about Austin Rivers. I couldn't disagree more with them. Julius Peppers played at North Carolina. Donovan McNabb started at Syracuse. Terrell Owens. Randy Moss played with Jason Williams.
Yes, he did.
I mean, and I went to the University of Maryland, and the football players routinely played the basketball players and more than held their own with them. Mm. And I think it's that eventually you either have to get hit or hit somebody, and most of those basketball players aren't trying to take the punishment. So it's actually the opposite. You can go with the running backs, the wide receivers, the defensive backs, and you can find a plethora of guys who I promise you played those same kids in college, and had they not gone to the route of football, would have absolutely been able to drop the weight and slim down enough to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth.
Thanks, Ernest. Appreciate it. There, like Yurko said, there definitely takes an adjustment mentally when you start getting physically pounded in a game to be able to get up off the mat and respond to that. Not every sport has to deal with that. Football's unique in that way. Hockey a little bit too. Hockey's incredibly physical, but nothing's really like football where every play you're talking about serious, serious collision, and it's nasty.
Even making it safer, it's still a nasty game.
Oh, you better believe it is. There's no doubt about it. Al's in Portage Park. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks so much for taking my call.
You got it.
The previous caller mentioned Peppers. I was going to mention that him as well. Like,
I think
he was a starting forward for North Carolina.
He was. Wasn't he? He absolutely was.
Yeah. Do you figure he could probably make an NBA roster, maybe, you know, as a, you know, whatever, bench guy or something, but he decided with football. But the guy I wanted to mention, I hate to mention this guy as a Chiefs fan, Antonio Gates.
Yes, Yurko brought him up.
I didn't bring up Gates.
Oh, I thought you did. Who'd you bring up?
No, I brought up Tony Gonzalez.
Marcus Pollard.
Antonio Gates and Marcus Pollard.
Gates, yes.
Yeah, Yurko mentioned the great Tony Gonzalez, of course, the Hall of Famer. But, I mean, Gates was a guy who played basketball only, I think, at Kent State.
I believe that's true. I don't think he played football there, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good call, Al. Yeah, Antonio Gates or something.
I told you about the kid in Cleveland that we had that came from the University of Cincinnati. Roderick Monroe is his name. He played for Bob Huggins after he transferred out of community college, played for him for 2 years. They won the title in his senior year and went to the NCAA tournament. He had a fifth year of eligibility, not for basketball. He went and played football with the Cincinnati Bearcats. He was a great player in Texas at tight end position. Strongest guy on the team, could bench 415, can leg press, you know, over 1,000 pounds.
Jeez.
Got drafted in the seventh round by the Dallas Cowboys.
No kidding.
Ended up with Cleveland in 2000. I think it was a 98 draft that he got drafted. Ended up with us in 2000. They were trying to still develop him as a tight end to get him for it to be a little more natural for him to engage. He bounced around with three, four other teams over the next three, 4 years, but ended up out of the league. But there's a guy that played high school football, played college basketball because he was a McDonald's All-American, and then transitioned back into football because he was only 6 foot four.
Sick athlete.
Yeah, 6'4". So he knew he couldn't play in the NBA, so he wanted to give it a try at football.
Let's say to Jim in Chicago Heights. What's up, Jim?
Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
And Jackie Robinson played football, baseball, and he was a track star.
And he was a track star. Yeah. You think he was a good athlete? I mean, my God.
Deion Sanders,
you can do just about anything.
Deion Sanders, Brian Jordan.
Yes, both of them. Both
played baseball and played football.
Deanna always says baseball is harder just because hitting a baseball is so damn hard.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously hard physical challenges.
It's not physically demanding, but it's
hard.
Hand-eye coordination.
Crazy. Let's say hi to Patrick in Downers Grove. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on just based on, like, athletes in general. Yeah, I mean, I would agree with the previous callers that NBA players are a little bit soft. I wouldn't say that about DeMar DeRozan. But I just wanted your guys' opinion about soccer players. Like, what about Ibra or Virgil van Dijk? Or particularly, this is a perfect example, shout out to Abdallah, Kyle Walker. He's one of the fastest people on the planet, and he's like a big boy. I mean, that speed translates.
I agree. The physical tools are there.
Thanks, Patrick.
Kyle Walker's, I think he's a right back, plays for Man City, used to play for Tottenham in the day. Yeah, he is thick. Ibrahimovic is a Swedish player of Balkan descent. Tall, physical, mean streak. He's a striker. Who's the other fellow that he mentioned? Virgil van Dijk. Plays for the Dutch.
Here we go. The 2 days in a row, we talk about the Dutch.
Big guy, defensive center back. You'll see him if you ever saw Liverpool play number four.
I think I have seen him. Big physical player.
Yeah, if they lived here in the States. Right. I'd like to think if I lived in Europe, I could have been a professional soccer player.
Right.
But I don't live in Europe. I lived in the States, and football became my game because that's the game that was being played around me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've got the physical tools. There are physical tools there
for
guys to be able to do things.
Just think how good we'd be at soccer if Tyreek Hill and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but they got to play from when they're young.
Well, of course. That's what I mean. Like, you know, we won't compete at that level.
Like all the fast guys.
Think if Derrick Rose played soccer, how good we would have been. Tyreek Hill. Westbrook. Dwayne Wade. Like, I'm just John Morant. Come on. John Morant playing soccer instead. Then we get to compete with the rest
of
the world in soccer.
There was no money in the
U.S. But we don't
get
to do that now.
And there still isn't money in the U.S. for soccer.
I know, right?
There still isn't money in the U.S. for soccer.
You mean in terms of, like, youth development, Yerk? Is that what you mean?
No.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean just in making – I see what you're saying.
Professionally.
Amongst the professional ranks.
You have to go to Europe to make the money.
I got you. Yeah. Yeah, no, there's not. You're right. And they don't have – we don't probably have the infrastructure for the youth that those European countries do either, right? It's all in our AAU basketball, youth football, hockey programs, right? I mean,
it seems to me like they're putting money in paddleball, too.
Pickleball and paddle.
Yeah. Pickleball.
Oh, but everybody plays. It's the fastest growing sport in the universe, and every man, woman, and child – from ages 3 and up plays pickleball.
When you're done, you have a spritzer.
So many kids.
Yeah, you have a spritzer.
So many kids in so many neighborhoods play pickleball. 312-332-3776. We're going to play McKnight at the Movies coming up. It's Carmen and Eric. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko, only on ESPN Chicago.
Every Thursday, we play McKnight at the Movies. Well, he did a good one last week. Sneaky, like, sort of underrated movie from the 90s called Malice with Bill Pullman and Alec Baldwin and Nicole Kidman and Anne Bancroft. Sneaky good movie. We're like, ooh, he's going deep. Now, let's see what Connor's got cooked up for us today. We always play along with you. We do not know the movies that Connor selects. It's all up to him. McKnight at the Movies is brought to you by our great friends at the Village of Elmwood Park. You want to talk about top-notch eating and drinking all over Elmwood Park, Yurko. You got to go check it out for yourself. Restaurant Row, up and down North Avenue there from, like, I'd say from, like, Harlem almost out to just a little bit east of First Avenue. You got a bunch of great stuff. Today, winner's going to get a gift card for Angelo Caputo's Fresh Market. Are you ready, my friend? You ready to play?
I am ready.
All right, here we go.
I'm ready, Carm.
McKnight at the Movies, Part 1.
Our scene opens in what looks like a parking lot, one man addressing a crowd, holding court, really. As is typical of our writer-director, the camera isn't focused on the speaker, instead, on a listener, one of our two mains. He's all dolled up and out of place. A tux and bow tie doesn't really fit out here. Our speaker responds to a query from the crowd, and his answer makes our main chuckle. The speaker spots it and calls him out. His prowess is not to be questioned. He's top dog. Our main sees through the smokescreen. As if he just can't help it and knows he shouldn't, our main speaks up. He's going to get in trouble. He's on his last chance out here, and this is exactly the kind of thing he's gotten in trouble about before. He simply can't help it.
Jeez, I feel like I should know this. I feel like it's screaming at me, and I can't place it.
This is where I went first. Sorry, Carl.
Go ahead. Write it on there, kid.
He said he's wearing a tuxedo, and then that didn't get it for me.
Twitch does not have it.
Man.
But it's not.
It's not,
because he said he's wearing a...
Tuxedo.
Let me get to the microphone. He said he's wearing a tux.
He said it doesn't fit out here.
But to me, that had the... It was the parking lot. They were unveiling something.
Right.
And there was a guy talking on there, and the guy in the audience definitely disagreed with him.
Right.
So it's not right because the guy's wearing a tuxedo.
I don't know, man. I feel like I should know this. But all right, let's try part
hold
two. Twitch doesn't have it. Oh, did you just get another
idea? Oh, this is who's in it.
I love Yurko writing down, isn't it?
That's one of the actors, and we're going to find out about
it. Okay. All right, let's find out about our actors.
A bit on our actors. This movie marks a turning point for our main. He's firmly begun the Silver Fox era of his superstardom. The speaker has been in a ton, but hasn't talked much. Usually lets his hands do the talking. Also in the movie, but not in the scene, our second main is, in a way, a kind of twin to the other in this movie. Their fates are certainly intertwined. Buckle up for the rest of the cast, because, wow. Pumpkin, Mr. Blonde, MacReady, Bruce and Demi's kid, Cassie Howard, Robin Buckley, Hannah Horvath, Friedrich von Trapp, Jimmy Hoffa, Captain Dick Winters, Dylan McKay, Woody Grant, Lupita Ramos, Elvis, Cobb Vanth, Amelia Cutner, Speed, and Barbie. Back to our scene.
Holy Amelia who?
I'm even more confused now because there was so many actors. My head is spinning.
Yeah.
Did I get that Jack Nicholson
Barbie,
is in
Margot
there?
Robbie
and Margot
is
Robbie and... He said Jimmy Hoffa. That's Jack Nicholson played Jimmy Hoffa.
Or could it be Joe Pesci?
Oh, yeah, I guess. But he said Jimmy Hoffa? Oh. Well, Hoffa... No, Al Pacino played Hoffa.
I'm
as confused as ever. All right, let's go. I don't know.
Twitch does not have it. Carm, you're going to be upset.
I know I'm going to be upset because on the first clue, I'm like, wait, I know this movie. I can see it.
Twitch has it now.
All right, here we go. Part 3.
What started as a call-out is quickly turning into confrontation. The camera begins to peel away from the close-up of our main to give us an over-the-shoulder from our speaker. Classic move from our writer-director. Now asked directly what he thinks about his claims, our main cannot hold back. He's said his piece, and now the challenge is offered. Out here on the back lot, there's not much more for extras to do than wait. So a fight seems like a welcome distraction for this crowd. There's more posturing from our speaker.
And it is the actor.
Our main calls it out for the deflection that it is. This isn't exactly a pivotal scene in the movie, but it's more historical fiction from our writer-director who has fixated on that in his last few films. Would we want to have seen Clay and Lee go 10 rounds? Yeah. Of course. Is this that? Absolutely not. Is it fun anyway? Oh, of course it is.
Finally, I got one.
Beat me to the punch.
Finally, I
got
one.
And that's it. And I am mad because
you said Pacino. You were right. You were on the right path with Pacino.
Pacino.
Yeah, you talked about it the other day.
Jimmy Hoffa, Pacino.
You mentioned Pacino, and the Twitch chat immediately got it.
Ah, see, I gave him a little bit of a clue. Yeah. Because he said Jimmy Hoffa, and I'm like, wait. And I immediately went to Jack, and then Yurko said, well, Pacino, too, because of the Irishman, he played Hoffa. And I'm like, oh, gosh. I'm mad that I didn't get it.
I got it.
Good job, Yurko.
I walked out of the movie. I walked out of the movie in the theater and then watched it again and watched it again. Now I'll watch it all the time.
It's so good.
But didn't I tell you who was in the movie? I wrote Brad Pitt down right away.
Yeah, you did.
Before we went to the actors, I wrote Brad Pitt down.
That's really good, Yurko.
He wrote down Brad Pitt. You're 100% right. All right, let's see. Who is it? Philip in Hampshire? Is that who is our winner? Yes. Philip, what's the movie?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Hold on, buddy. You got
the first one I got this year.
Coming. No, that's not true.
It's 100% true. It's the first one I got against you this year.
I don't know.
I guarantee it, Carm. I've been 0 for 2024.
It's a good win for you, Yurko.
It's the first one I got. I am so proud of myself today.
It's moving up into my top rankings
without
of his
question.
Movies, for sure.
When I tell you I walked out on it, I did. I did, but then I watched
what
it again.
What made you walk out?
It was so slow.
So good, dude.
It was so slow. I'm like, sweet this, mother.
This scene, and we'll play it, and it's so
maybe
visual.
I didn't walk out on it. Maybe the person I was with hated it so much, she kept saying, I'm like, no. I said, we are staying, and I stayed. But the more I watch it, the more I like it.
This scene is so good. If I'm going to watch any, like, five-minute chunk of this movie, it is this scene. Over and over and over again. It is that good. It is that well done. I'm with Abdallah. This is like somehow, I believe now, not somehow, but I think it's like crept into my, it might be on the verge of like knocking Kill Bill out. And that's crazy to say.
That's crazy.
Because I love Kill Bill.
Because I like, love Hateful Eight.
This movie is just so good. It is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And here's the reveal.
Well, if you fought Cassius Clay, who would win?
Well, that would never happen.
But if you did, what do you think would happen?
I'd make him a cripple.
Make him a cripple. Hey, you.
What's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
My name's Cliff. I'm Rick Dalton's stunt double.
Stuntman?
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of pretty for a stuntman.
That's what they tell me.
So, did I say something funny, stuntman?
Yeah, you kind of did.
What's so funny?
Look, man, I don't want any trouble. I'm just here to do a job.
But you're laughing at what I'm saying. But I'm not saying anything funny. So what do you think is so funny?
What I think is, you're a little man with a big mouth and a big chip. And I think you should be embarrassed to suggest you be anything more than a stain on the seat of Cassius Clay's trunks.
Such a great line.
Brother, you're the one with the big mouth. And I would really enjoy closing it, especially in front of all my friends. But my hands are registered as lethal weapons. That means we get into a fight, I accidentally kill you. I go to jail.
Anybody accidentally kills anybody in a fight, they go to jail. It's called manslaughter. And I think all that lethal weapon is just an excuse so you dancers never have to get in a real fight.
Okay. How about a friendly contest? No punching in the face. 2 out of 3. Who puts who on the ground first? Nobody tries to hurt nobody. Just who ends up on their butt?
That's a great idea, Kato.
I love how he calls him Kato. Yeah, I guess Bruce Lee's family didn't like that portrayal, but, you know.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
A little...
There's a little
that car didn't
license
like
the, that was yeah. taken, but
the car didn't like the portrayal either. As Bruce Lee's body went flying into it. I mean, what are you going to do?
Anything other than a stain on Cassius Clay's trunks. It is such a good line.
He was on the roof. He's on the roof fixing the chimney, the antenna on the chimney.
That's right.
When he goes reminiscing into that.
Yeah.
And Charlie Manson is walking to the, is walking that because he had talked to him. He was walking to the back house.
Correct.
Where whatever Brian Wilson lived.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was good stuff, man. Good movie.
Like I said, I've watched that movie a lot after seeing it in the theater, and I like it more
it's grown
today than I did when I saw it in the theater.
I believe Tarantino is making his final movie and is going to be coming out at some point soon, and I think he's going to tap out after that, and it'll be a sad day. Absolutely love Quentin Tarantino. The Lunch Rush is coming up next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back.
No, no, no.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
No.
It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll crosstalk in an hour, and then White Sox and Guardians. The first place Guardians. The Guardians are like 10 above 500. I don't know how, but
they're doing it.
They just do it somehow.
They got Francona, right?
No.
Tito?
Francona
they got
retired.
Tito.
I will give you $100 American if you can name their manager.
Sandy Alomar.
It is not Sandy Alomar.
It's not Sandy Alomar?
It is not.
Is it Roberto Alomar?
It's not Roberto Alomar
Sandy
either.
Alomar Jr.?
If I give you his... It's not Sandy Alomar Jr. If I give you his initials...
I bet you I don't get it. Go
I S.V.
S.V. Scott
Shane
Van Pelt.
Shane Victorino.
It is not... That's a great guess, Shane Victorino. It is not Scott Van Pelt. It is not Shane Victorino.
Steven Valentine.
You're so close.
Steven Valencia.
Can you think of a recent ball player with the name Steven whose last name like kind of sounds the way you're starting? He played for Oakland and he was a little bit of a journeyman.
Steve Ventura.
It's not Voight? Steven. Say it, Chris.
Voight?
Steven Voight.
Steven Voight.
Steven.
How the hell did I pull that name?
I don't know, but you just did.
Baseball. Take that.
Baseball, take that is right. You just did. Oakland,
Voight.
Tampa, Arizona. He was a catcher that bounced around. You know how the catchers always make good managers.
A little bat, right? Well, he could hit
A little bit. He could, you know.
Was he a thunderstick?
No.
He just...
He was a journeyman because you know you play catcher in this league you're gonna hang around a while.
Bullpen catcher?
No, he was a big league catcher for a lot of years. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Steven Voight is their new manager. Yurko.
He's no Benito Santiago.
No, he was not Benito Santiago. You're correct about that. You know when you can find the guys like that's why Rushman's so good now, and it's like it. You know the Sox ended up drafting after Rushman was already gone. It was Rushman and Bobby Witt, and then they took Andrew Vaughn, and boy, has Andrew Vaughn struggled. My God.
He struggled.
Now, everybody thought he was going to come into this league and hit. Now, he was never the prospect those other two guys were because he was limited defensively. Bobby Witt plays a premium position, Yurk. He's a shortstop.
Yes.
Adley Rushman plays a premium position, and when you find the guy that can be a great defensive and offensive catcher, the Joe Mauers, the...
Piazza.
Piazza wasn't very good at defense. When you find the Buster Posey's, the Joe Mauers of the world, the Johnny Benches of the world, you've really hit a home run. I mean, that's hitting the proverbial grand slam. And that's what they found in Adley Rushman. So, unfortunately, both those guys were off the board by the time the White Sox took Andrew Vaughn. So, anyway, I digress. White Sox and Guardians tonight. Cleveland rolls into town. 6 o'clock pregame. And I'm sorry. Bears Weekly is on from 5 to 6, and then the White Sox and the Guardians start at 6 o'clock. So Jesse and Sylvie will be off the air at 5 o'clock tonight. All right, Adam, let's do the Lunch Rush.
Hi, guys.
Hello, bud.
What's up there, my friend?
We will start some NBA news and notes. Patrick Beverley has been suspended for 4 games. Whether he plays again or not is remained to be seen. But they've also, police have opened an investigation into an NBA player and citizen altercation. So this is between him and the fan that he threw the basketball.
Beverly, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a police investigation.
Got to be better than that, Pep Bev. Got to be. That was not a good look last. That was Thursday, I think, wasn't it? Because Peggy and I talked about it Friday. I think you were gone. I believe it was last Thursday night.
Yep.
Not a good look by Pat Bev. So, and absolutely needed to be suspended if, like Adam said, he decides to even play again.
Friend of the Bleck and Abdallah program, Aaron Schatz, and friend to Carmen DeFalco, the DVOA.
Oh, yeah.
Drink. Haven't said that in a while. Feels good. Feels good to say DVOA.
Doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Right?
It does. Has an article on ESPN.com listing the biggest remaining roster holes for all 32 teams. Carmen, you know this.
Yep.
Yurko, guess which roster spot, which position, he believes that the Bears need to address.
I would guess that he thinks the three technique.
No.
Defensive end.
No.
I feel like we might be here a while.
We might.
It's not crazy. It's not like a special teams thing.
It's crazy.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
Okay. All right.
It is backup quarterback.
He thinks the quarterback depth. If something were to happen to Caleb. Adam's right. He wrote that.
Tyler,
you know,
Bagent.
Tyson,
our guy.
Tyson.
Tyler.
And they signed Brett Rypien, but he noted he was awful in his one start for the Rams. Rypien's been pretty awful in the few starts he's made, period, in his NFL career. Bagent is very unproven. And look, we know there are some serious limitations.
You had four games last year with Bagent.
Yes, you had four games.
Is
Ryan Tannehill still out there, you guys, or did he sign somewhere?
No, he's still
out there.
Do you sign a guy like Ryan Tannehill?
I think you wait.
I
think you're in no hurry.
Okay.
The fact that Tannehill's out there, who's going after him right now? Nobody.
I guess you're right.
I think you be patient and you wait.
He's probably the best option out there. I guess I would just say that. Do you want to have the best option available at backup quarterback? You could go do it now, but maybe Yurko's right.
He probably wants to start.
Well,
though. Like, he wants to wait for an injury.
He's got no
imagine.
Shot of starting here.
Right.
So.
No,
well,
he's
going to
wait
it.
For an injury.
You might be right.
Right. I think his want is to be able to take snaps.
Listen, I guess if Bagent had to go in there for a couple of games, you'd say, okay, at least you know the ball will be out on time, and you're probably not going to do anything too silly to hurt you. There were a couple of costly turnovers
in
his game.
Is Tannehill
games,
a 10-year guy right now?
Ryan Tannehill,
he's been in this league for a while.
Got to be getting close.
10, 11 years, I would guess,
Ryan
for Ryan
Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill
is 11 years into the league.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think he's going to be ultra patient. I think he's made a lot of money. I think he's going to be patient.
Yeah.
He thinks and believes he can play and he can be a starter in this league. So why not wait for the inevitable injuries to put yourself in the best situation possible?
You cool if the Bears have to break glass in case of emergency and it is Bagent for five games?
I've got no problem with Bagent.
Let's face it. It's anything more than four, you're probably in trouble no matter who your backup quarterback is.
He went 2-2 last year with the squad they had. This year's squad's going to be better, right?
I think so.
I think this year's squad's better.
I think you're right.
If you can get a quarterback, give you four games and go 2-2, would you take it?
Yes.
Most of the time you won.
I don't like the 3-6 touchdown interception ratio, but
nobody does. He's a rookie.
That's true. All right, what else, Adam?
I don't know if this is legal, but Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels have a bet. Jaden Daniels was on a podcast because everyone has a podcast and everybody else goes on those podcasts that everybody else has.
Everybody.
And said that he and Malik Nabers have a $10,000 bet between the two of them over who will win Rookie of the Year.
Is that right?
Yes, they're both going to lose because Caleb Williams is going to win.
Williams is going to win, yeah.
So, but there's now being, I don't know if there's an investigation, but people are raising concerns because of all the gambling stuff that's going on in the NFL
like
the and
NFL
other sports.
Come out and say
that he might have, you know, overstepped his bounds by saying that we have a bet between each other for $10,000.
I mean, how does that work here? This is not a sanctioned wager that's being made.
There's no proof that the wager was made. They could be being braggadocious, being this. The only thing they can do is be warned. Hey, don't mention gambling or don't talk about gambling. There's nothing they can really do. No money has changed hands.
The verbiage says that you can't gamble, obviously, but then it says gambling includes private wagers between teammates, family, and friends or others.
All right, so that's trouble.
No, unless the money changed hands. Talking about wagers and actually wagering are two different things.
Okay. I bet the league's going to have to
The league can do what they want.
Say,
they're both going to lose anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Caleb's going to win that award anyway.
Yeah, come on.
That's Caleb Williams' award, ladies and gentlemen. He's your favorite. I love that they're talking about having that bet, though, as teammates.
Don't go on podcasts, guys.
You only get in trouble going on podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, pickleball people get mad at you, and it's a big headache. Just don't do it, guys. What else, Adam?
The NHL is coming to Utah, but
yes.
They don't have a name yet. And so the team, or the the organization, whatever.
Salt Lake City, Latter-day Saints.
They're going to be the Utah something, and they have put up 20 names on a survey as to what people can call them. I don't know if this is going to be the winner. They're just using these as suggestions. They'll ultimately decide.
You have the list?
Yes, I do.
Is Peaks on the list?
Peaks is not on the list.
No. I don't like it.
Is Tabernacle Choir on the list?
No.
No.
Utah Unicorns.
That is not on there. It is the Squall.
The Squall, okay.
The Frost. The Swarm. The Mammoth.
Mammoth's not bad.
One of my favorite ones, Utah HC. Let's do that. Let's start naming them hockey
clubs. That's not bad, dude.
Let's start naming them hockey clubs.
It's popular in Europe.
Yeah. Utah. Yeah.
Chris is like,
The Utah Glaciers.
That's good.
The Utah Black Diamonds.
Ooh.
The Utah Yeti. That's another one of my favorites.
That's, that's good.
That's not bad.
The Canyons. The Caribou, another one I like.
That's good, yeah.
The Utah Venom, stupid.
Yeah, dumb.
Utah Ice, also stupid. Utah Powder, lots of cocaine references, stupid.
Way too many.
The Utah Hive, don't get it.
No.
The Utah Outlaws, The Mountaineers. The Utah Freeze. The Utah Fury. The Blizzard. And the Blast.
You know, Freeze is not bad. Yeti's pretty good, I think. There was another one you said in there early. I can't remember. I didn't write it down.
The Mammoth?
Yeah, Mammoth isn't bad. Utah Mammoth is not terrible.
Let me ask you a question. I just Googled Utah animals. So animals that live in Utah. And coyote is like the third one that came up.
Is that right? Why don't you just keep it coyote?
Yeah.
They never
change. You already have a coyote.
Well, no.
They're moving.
They're moving. That's
Are they going to still be coyotes or going to be something else?
No, they're changing the name. I think normally when they move, they do change the name. Like the St. Louis Browns became the Baltimore Orioles.
What do you think we're talking about for the last
Utah
couple
Armadillos.
Minutes?
We got a new team, Utah.
Well, that they're moving, though. That's not an expansion team.
Armadillos.
Yeah. I love how Chris Googled Utah animals.
Well, because before...
Well, here, the number one that comes up, and this makes sense, cougar.
Yeah, cougar.
How about the cougars?
Oh, yeah. Cougar's good. Then coyote.
No, then coyote, then moose, then mule deer. You don't want to be the mule deer.
It seems like more of a Florida team.
What about the black-footed ferret?
Yeah, that's no good. The Utah black-footed ferrets.
What about the bushy-tailed wood rat?
Nah, that's no good either. American black bear. What about the Utah Bears? We already have the Chicago Bears, but like...
I don't like
Utah Bears. Black Bears.
Oh, the American Beaver.
Oh, the Utah Beavers. Now we're talking.
Something. You can latch on to something there.
Yeah, man, Yeti's not bad.
Yeti's good. Caribou's good. Mammoth is good.
What about Freeze? That's
and
not
HC
terrible.
Is good.
HC, yeah.
I like HC.
How about the Utah Tobacco Spitters?
I don't think so.
I don't like it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
How about the Utah War Pigs?
There you have it. I don't know.
Hey, listen, where are you going? Every day you go to the rink, you're going to war, right?
Yeah, I guess.
But it can't Utah be the Coyotes because there's already a Coyotes.
That's awesome.
There's already a Coyotes, Carm.
That's the lunch rush. Often, what do they say, Yurko? Often
imitated. Never duplicated.
But never duplicated. Carm and Yurko, we'll be right back.
Chicago's home for sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Tomorrow I'm going to be at Slightly Toasted. 5:30 the event starts. That's a place in the loop. A lot of the city people always say, hey, what about these events in the city? I know Kevin Warren has been bugging me saying, we love the city.
That's comedy right there by Sylvie. I laughed out loud. I was like, that's good, Sylvie. That's good. You're good. You see, Brandon Johnson, the mayor, was down in Springfield for the first time as official, you know, under official business as mayor.
As the mayor of Chicago.
As the mayor, yeah. Yep. Didn't
and
I,
what was he looking for down there?
Money, you know, but for schools. For schools.
Okay.
And I think probably for his pet project now, the Bears, too. Worry about other things, you know. Let's fix a lot of other things.
Where do teachers in the Chicagoland area rank in the United States as far as pay?
I have no idea.
12th.
12th.
Do you know who number one is? Which state is number one?
So we're talking by state. I'm going to guess.
By state. There's 50 states.
Thanks, Yurko. Are we counting territories?
I'm not counting Puerto Rico.
Connecticut.
It is not Connecticut.
I'm just but thinking
it
does like begin we're very with a C. Rich people.
It does
California.
Begin with a C. Yes, California is number one on that list.
Yeah,
and Illinois is number 12.
Number 12 on.
Just
that
let
list.
You know a little perspective on. Well, what's happening? What's going on?
You've got numbers galore over there. Sneaky smart over there.
I watched Paul Conrad this morning. You know, our girl Robin Baumgartner always there with the news, and Larry Potash. So that's where it came from today.
Isn't Paul Conrad do the weather?
Yeah, it doesn't mean that he doesn't communicate and talk with everybody.
But he's
when
talking
they're going
about the numbers
segments.
Of the teachers.
They all do all the time. That's a very conversational newscast. I mean, you tell me you've never watched it.
I have. I actually have.
They talk to each other about everything all the time.
Most mornings, if I'm working at home, you're right. Before I come in. Most mornings, it is on TV too. Yes.
Yeah,
I do have it on.
I watch Paul. Then I switch over to Tracy real quick.
The well, I have Tracy on early left. Too. I always put Tracy's on very early. You can get
very early, but I was up at 5:30 a.m. this morning.
Put Tracy
doing
on
some way. Calisthenics.
You were not
half count burpees. I'm doing.
I am
half count burpees.
Half count burpees.
Yeah, I just burp. I just sit and burp. Yeah,
my legs are feeling
something
I've been...
carbonated. I just burp. I count that as a burpee.
I've been going to physical therapy to try to get my knee right. So I've been seeing my guys at Clarity Physical Therapy and Wellness.
What have you been working on, Carm?
They're trying to
strengthen and flexibility is what I always talk to you about.
Those are the two things. Yeah. The problem is
anytime you got an issue, stretch and strengthen.
And it's helping a little. The problem is, and they're like, you know, we're going to have to schedule an MRI here because they do all the tests that you talk about. Like, they're like, well, the good news is your ligaments are fine.
Right. So they do the Lachman's. Yes. They do the anterior drawer test.
Yes.
They do a pivot shift.
And they go, okay, your ligaments, we can feel your ligaments are,
you're
are in good shape.
You're intact.
What they can't feel, and you need pictures for, is cartilage. Meniscus damage.
Yeah, cartilage.
And I think there's, well,
lateral meniscus, medial meniscus.
They think there's definitely
some issues.
Some potential significant meniscus damage.
Yes. But you're still walking.
I'm walking. I haven't run in 2.5 weeks, and I have to wait another roughly week before I even try, they told me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going about 2 to 3 times a week. To physical therapy to strengthen and get the flexibility.
What have you been doing? What have you been working on specifically?
Mostly quad and hip and
have
glutes.
You been working the vastus medialis oblique, the VMOs, your terminal extension?
That's a question for Craig Maudsley and his fine crew at Clarity. I don't know.
Has your heel be coming off the ground?
Yes.
Yes.
A lot.
Ankle weights? Are you guys doing
Ankle weights.
So you're working on your terminal extension, your VMO.
My VMO.
Your vastus medialis oblique, the teardrop right here on the side of your leg.
Boy, this guy really
it's
knows
It's the key
some
to
stuff,
medial
huh?
stability, Carm. We've talked about this.
It's, you really
hamstrings
know
are the key to anterior stability.
A lot of, like, toe or heel off the ground, just body weight lunges just to get the calves firing and the hamstrings firing. And
what you need, body weight.
Boy, my legs are feeling it.
Yeah, they should. How's your hips?
My hips are feeling it.
So what they're trying to do is take the pressure off your knee joint.
Yes.
By strengthening the muscles around it so they can help cushion that. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of balance board stuff.
Yeah.
You ever want to be humbled?
Yeah.
Think that you're in, and I'm 47. I'm not a spring chicken.
But I'm
pretty active. I run a lot. I exercise a lot.
How is your kinesthetic awareness?
It's getting better.
That's your balance.
It's getting better.
1 foot balance.
First time on the board, I was embarrassed for myself.
Did you get pushed?
No.
So they'll come and push you and you got to adjust?
No.
They didn't do that. Yeah. It's good stuff.
I was embarrassed. I'm like, how could I be this?
Might be some advanced techniques I'm talking about. Go ahead. You were pushed. You went to balance. You couldn't even balance.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. Now I'm getting better at it because I've been practicing
it.
And
you've lost it. You've lost it because you don't work on it. Talking all day doesn't help you work on your kinesthetic
awareness. You know me. I mean, I do exercise almost daily. I like to think that I've kept myself in somewhat good shape.
Specific.
I know. It's terrible.
Well, circle's a shape. That's what I always have hope, you know?
Yeah, right.
Circle is a shape.
So I'm hoping that it'll continue to alleviate the pain without surgery, but I don't know.
You doing some hamstring work?
Yeah, I did a lot of hamstring work today, this morning.
How much gluteal work have you been doing?
That's why I'm burning.
You're working on your keister, huh?
My buttocks and hammies today,
good.
They put me through it today.
Good, you deserve it.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
You deserve it.
You want to come massage right here? Is this the iliac crest?
Your iliac crest is up here.
Oh, that's up here. You want to come?
So you got glutes.
Right here,
listen,
glutes.
You got glutes and piriformis back there.
Dude.
Your piriformis is the muscle that tightens up. It'll screw your whole back up, man.
Is that right?
Your whole back. If your piriformis is tight, you've got problems.
So the strengthening and the stretching will probably help.
Stretching and strengthening, yes. Yeah. That's it. When people got my shoulder hurts, Stretch and strengthen.
Couple things here real quick before we take a break. It's sit tight. Joey G. Joey, hold on. I know these guys want to chime in on a few things we've talked about this hour.
Joey!
I played that funny line that Sylvie had yesterday. He made me laugh out loud. The whole Kevin Warren wants me in the city more. Sylvie is in the city, slightly toasted, 5:30 tonight with Elijah Craig, straight bourbon whiskey. And it's the last chance. I think it might be the last chance, I heard Sylvie say, to get any of these spots in the golf outing, in the Grip It and Sip It Classic at Seven Bridges next month. So if you're leaving work, like before you go to the train or before you head home, stop at Slightly Toasted. It's a really fun place, great bourbon bar, great whiskey bar. Sylvie's going to be there starting at 5:30. You can hang with him for a little bit and try some Elijah Craig if you've never had it. It's delicious. Get the barrel proof. It's even better. And maybe have an old-fashioned over there tonight, too. 312-332-3776 is the number for Carmen and York. We're back in 2 minutes.